You're listening to Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. When we've opened the phones in the past, we've often taken calls from Jerry from Queens, who is my brother Jerry, and he's here with us actually live today after spending Saturday night at his first orchestra concert at Carnegie Hall, courtesy of critic and musician and inveterate blogger Drew McManus, who authors the blog known as Adaptistration, part of Drew's initiative called Take a Friend to the Orchestra Month, which actually, Drew, the Chicago Symphony is involved in, isn't it?
Absolutely, they are. There's several orchestras right now that are offering discounts to their patrons in their respective areas who want to take part in Take a Friend to Orchestra Month program. Chicago Symphony is offering a 25% discount on main floor seats for their concerts coming up on the 26th, 27th, and 28th. The Delaware Symphony is offering 50% off for buy one ticket, get the next one half off. On May 20th and 22nd for their concerts. The Houston Symphony has a similar program for several of their concerts on May 14th through 16th, May 21st through 23rd, May 27th through 29th. You can get all those details at Adaptistration on the Take a Friend to Orchestra Month Discounts and Incentives link. And okay. They'll take you right to either the websites or it'll give you the instructions on how to take advantage of those.
Now that it seems like these orchestras are focusing on ticket prices as their way of getting involved in Take a Friend to the Orchestra Month. How much are ticket prices an issue in getting people through the door?
It probably depends on the individual people. I know for me and for probably a large portion of the American audience that really should be and could be taking advantage of orchestra concerts that are going to be in that lower to middle class income bracket. You know, if they want to take a friend or a group of friends to orchestra, and if they want to treat them especially, well, it starts to add up in a big hurry. So, you know, discounts for multiple ticket purchases in smaller amounts, under five or so, is a big incentive for folks to help get out and make the evening a little more affordable and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so if your friends don't enjoy it, they don't have to worry about losing too much money.
Right, right. Well, now you guys obviously, you know, you were there with press tickets, but those would have cost between $60 and $100 a seat. Jerry, does that strike you as exorbitant?
Not really, because whether you go to a ball game or a rock concert anyway, you're paying the same money. So if you're looking for another avenue of entertainment, why not at least try it?
Yeah. All right. Now, you know, there's a case that's been made that many people, as they get a little older, you know, they feel like maybe I'm a little too old to be going to these rock concerts all the time now. And you know, maybe we can get into this in the second half when we start talking about the Rolling Stones, you know, in their 60s putting on rock concerts. But the idea that, you know, you begin to think at a certain age, you know, maybe I should be looking at some of this Beethoven and Bach and Brahms stuff. And, I mean, you know, Drew, do you see this as a kind of a natural progression with, you know, with the process of aging? And I hate to be using words like that because, you know, it's hitting me right between the eyes, too.
Experience.
Okay. Is, you know, taking up or at least trying classical music kind of a natural progression from, you know, going to see the Stones for the umpteenth time?
I would actually say very much so. I know the baby boomer generation is really one of the first ones to grow up with television. So live cultural events, whether it be rock and roll or any other concerts or even just going out to see plays and whatnot, were significantly reduced in that generation compared to previous generations. And I think this baby boomer generation that's grown up with that television mentality has gotten to the point now where they've had their children, and their children are off into college or soon so. And they have more income and more time, and they're starting to feel that they're really missing something else in their life. And some of that is cultural enrichment. Unfortunately, they're put off by the stereotype that sometimes goes along with orchestras. And so they don't necessarily know how to go about taking advantage of filling that void that they might have. And that's where, you know, the Take a Friend to Orchestra Month program really kind of kicks in, and where I've had experience with a lot of the adults that I've taken to orchestra concerts.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, would it ever have occurred to you that, you know, the next step after watching Bowie and the Stones and people like that playing live, that the next step might be, yeah, maybe I'll go to Carnegie Hall and see something else?
Well, yeah, I mean, following you musically, yeah. And, you know, I go back to this every time I think of the major change you've made was 1977 in the David Bowie Lowe album, Side 2,
uh-huh,
produced by Brian Eno. And that was That was totally.
You're saying that when I brought that record home, that sort of was a big thing for you.
It was a big thing for you too.
Yeah.
And you know, then went on to with David Byrne, and you just kept going and going. And so I think it is a natural progress. Yes, I mm-hmm. do.
But one that you hadn't, you know, I mean, you hadn't really made any steps to that until, you know, we set up you and Drew to kind of drag you to Carnegie Hall on Saturday
Well,
night.
That's true. But, you know, musical-wise, I have followed a lot of other different paths. And classical is the only one that I have not quite mastered.
So Drew, what was it like having, you know, somebody who didn't even know the name of the composer? As, you know, I mean, in terms of how did you try and sort of give Jerry the basic framework that you thought he would need to enjoy this event?
Well, there's, of course, so much about classical music and with anything that people take an interest in, whether it be that to just a hobby, that is you want to try to relay everything you can as much as possible, but you can just get into overload mode
right.
quite easily. So you mm-hmm. try to pick out just a couple of wow kind of events or something that you might find interesting, or you throw a few things out until you finally catch one that they pick up on a little bit. And some of that can just be about the composer. Some of it can be about the orchestra on stage or some of the performers. You just try to throw those little tidbits out to make it interesting and have at least some kind of individual connection to it.
Now, Jerry, what were the tidbits that worked for you?
Well, I mean, you know, Drew was wonderful to go with. You know, he explained what was going to be happening, and you know, I just basically followed his lead. And like I said, I went there with an open mind, and I wanted, you know, I really wanted to see what I would get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out of it what you put into it.
Drew, what if the person that you're taking absolutely hates it? Do you turn into a nudge and you start nagging, oh, come on, you got to try it one more time? Or do you just throw up your hands and say, all right, well, you tried it?
Mm. I usually would recommend to someone they may try a different concert, because just because you like one Spielberg movie doesn't mean you're going to necessarily like the next.
Mm-hmm.
And if you caught someone at the time where they didn't like it, well, you know, you could try to encourage them to try to do another one. But that's just one single idea. The really neat thing about the entire program is it utilizes the blog, Adaptastration, and I've enlisted the help of 16 other really just fantastic, entertaining, clever, prominent music critics, bloggers, other musicians, and even some very knowledgeable patrons to give their personal views and opinions about how they would actually go about taking a friend to an orchestra. And some of them have been just absolutely fantastic so far.
Mm-hmm. So any particular tips that you've picked up from any of these other folks who include, by the way, you know, the president of the American Symphony Orchestra League, Henry Fogel, and
yep.
well-known composer and critic Kyle Gann, and numerous others. I mean, what are they saying that you're thinking is a pretty good idea for getting people in the door?
Oh boy, there's so much. And that's what's great about the program is every individual is going to perceive the event in an entirely different way. And there isn't going to be a universal approach that will work for anybody. But each of their individual points is going to end up speaking to someone out there. And it's going to give some patrons some encouragement and the courage and empowerment they need to be able to go out and invite a friend, and go about it a way they wouldn't have been able to know before. One of the better places, at least the funnier places to start, is the contribution by Minnesota violist Sam Bergman, who wrote a contribution and called it How to Become an Elitist Snob in 20 Easy Steps. And one of them includes an orchestra member beating someone to death with a bassoon because they don't know how to open their cellophane wrapper quite enough.
their candy wrapper, right?
Exactly. But you know, that being aside, there's a lot of really other good useful tips there as well too, and also just takes a lot of the edge off the stereotype and let people know that they can be much more relaxed than they usually think they need to be.
All right, so Jerry, if you were to go back, would you be dressed up? I mean, looking around at the audience, were your, some of those stereotypes reinforced?
Well, you know, like Drew said, you don't have to go there in a suit and a tie. But, you know, it was like almost being in a baseball game in the 1940s. They were always dressed up in a suit and a tie. Now people go to ball games, they're no longer in a suit and a tie. So, you know, yeah, if I did go again, I don't think I would go with a suit and a tie on. No.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, you know, what would you say to people who, like you, never go to symphony orchestra concerts?
Well, you know, there's nothing, you know, it's up to the individual. If they have an open mind, then they should try classical music. They may like it, as I did.
So you liked it?
I like two-thirds of it.
Think you might go back?
I would certainly go back, yes.
All right. Drew, Nice job.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You made a convert, one that I was not able to convert in 40-plus years of, you know, being this guy's brother. You spend one evening with him, and he's like, yeah, all right, I'll go back.
Well, you converted me to a lot of other good music, John.
All right. Drew McManus is the author of the blog Adaptistration. And, Drew, take a friend to the orchestra month is only half over, so I guess you have a lot more work to do.
That's right. We've got some really fantastic contributions coming up from folks like Alec Ross, who's the music critic at The New Yorker, and Bill Edens, who's the music director at the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra. He's also African-American, so you're going to probably get some really good, unique insight from him along those lines, too.
All right. Drew McManus is a regular on Soundcheck and, as I say, the author of Adaptistration, an online blog. Jerry from Queens is my brother Jerry and now a seasoned concert goer after his visit to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra this weekend at Carnegie Hall as part of Drew's Take a Friend to the Orchestra Month. Drew, Jerry, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, John.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to Soundcheck.